singing elder. Thank you, Todd. We appreciate that so much. And we appreciate the worship and the time together. My wife whispers to me and says, either you cut your sermon short or you blow out those candles. They're not going to make it. We know what option I'm going to take. It is Communion Sunday, so we have to hurry through our message this morning, but I want you to get the point, so we will get at it. And then as we celebrate the Lord's table together, remembering His wonderful name. We are looking at the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is the 23rd of all the Psalms. It is a Psalm that speaks of the Shepherd. It's otherwise known as the Shepherd's Psalm. We have been looking at it for a number of weeks. We've been examining some of the truths that are there. I suppose that we could spend twice as much time on it to milk from it all that God has for us. We've looked at the Lord as our shepherd and the possessiveness that David expresses here. The Lord is my shepherd. And then we looked at the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that I have everything I need in Him. I can ask for nothing more. God has given us all things richly to enjoy, but He's given His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have everything that we need. Then last week we looked at He makes me to lie down and how that we need to rest in the Lord. And He takes us into green pastures and makes us to lie down. And He keeps us from all the dangers and sicknesses around us. This morning we want to look at another aspect of the 23rd Psalm. But let's read it together. Or if you've memorized it and can do so with your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back, do so. I'm going to be looking around and seeing if anybody has their eyes closed. And I'll give you $50 if you can do that. No, I won't give you $50. Nice. But the Lord will reward you richly. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts. I saw a few eyes that were closed, and it looked like you were quoting it from memory, and I trust that is true. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, we give You Your word. Your word is truth. And as the Apostle Paul said to the church of Ephesus in his prayer, that the Word of God is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among the saints. So make it so in our hearts that the Word of God will build us up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, quickly in these few moments before communion, we want to focus on another phrase of the 23rd Psalm. And that phrase is this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, as I went through the preparations, my first intent was to just pause on He leads me and expound about the sovereignty of God leading us every step of the way. But then something else caught my eye in this, something that seems to be unusual and out of place. And that is that He says, He leads me in paths of righteousness, and then adds the reason. He leads me in paths of righteousness, not for my sake, but for His name's sake. We want to look at that this morning, and as we consider He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, we want to ask three questions. First of all, who is this shepherd God? Secondly, why is He concerned about His name? And thirdly, what is that blessed name? Walk with me as we look at these things quickly together. First of all, we need to note, who is this shepherd God? This shepherd God has introduced himself to his people. This shepherd God is known by some people in the Old Testament to whom God has revealed himself. To David, out in the fields with the sheep, God revealed himself as the shepherd. And so David knew the Lord. I want you to take a moment or two and take the bulletin that you have. Or you can take, the offering envelope in the pew if you like, and then I'll get crucified by some of my deaconesses. But take a piece of paper, just for a moment. Do it. Get a pencil. Have you got it? You got to move fast. So if the sermon goes long, it's not my fault, it's your fault. What I want you to do on this little piece of paper that you have is I want you to draw God. I want you to draw God. Now, we ask that of children in kindergarten and first grade, but we don't often ask it of adults. And in the kindergarten, you'll get a child who draws some strange pictures that doesn't look like God in our opinion, but we look at it and then ask him what it was, and he says, well, this is God. You know, he's got a great big head. He's got a beard because he's really old. And perhaps they draw him with a great big body. If you were to draw God, how would you draw him? In theology classes, we learn that God is beyond description. He is unknowable. We cannot know him in his entirety. That is, God is so superlative. God is so huge, so immense, so beyond our comprehension, much less our description. We can't put our arms around him. We can't really get a handle on him. We can't define him and put him on a piece of paper. God doesn't fit on a piece of paper. We come to the shepherd's psalm. It is this shepherd God who in some way is funneling himself or an aspect of himself into one little truth so that you can catch a glimpse of him. David is not trying to give us a global definition for who God is, but he's taking one slim attribute and saying, he's kind of like this, but certainly not like this in his entirety. God is unknowable, they say in theology class, yet God is knowable. For if he was unknowable, we couldn't even teach that he is unknowable. We wouldn't know that he's unknowable because he's unknowable. You follow? Gary, you can pick that up in your class and teach some philosophy. We need to understand that God is not like us. God is not so limited that we can put him in a bottle and keep him contained. He is limitless. He is beyond measure. He is extraordinarily big and measureless and strong and timeless. He has neither beginning nor ending. He is not like us. Other theologians term it, he is wholly other. That is, he is unlike us. We need to understand that as we come to this truth about he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because it's his name that he wants to talk about here. He's not so concerned about where he's leading us. That's a given. We know that God leads us. We know that he is in control. But he wants us to know the reason for that. The second question we ask is, why is he concerned about his name here? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It didn't say namesake, it says name's sake. That's possessive. His name's sake. That is, God wants us to understand about his name, that his name is important to him. And indeed it is. We find in the Old Testament, God always introduced himself to people with names. In fact, in the Bible, there are over 600 names for God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God says he's so immense, he can't define himself with one name. He gives us a lot of different names by which he defines who he is. Now, I have a namesake. Some years ago, 1972, Andrew was born? Yes. See, I got that one right. Dads don't often get the birth dates right. March 12th? 73. See, she got it wrong. My son was born and we defined what we were going to name him. That was, we were putting a label on him and giving some definition. I kind of wanted to have my son named Richard. So I would have this real namesake. So we compromised and it's Andrew Richard LaFountain. But in some sense, I have a namesake. That is, he has me in the middle of his names. And hopefully he always remembers that, especially when it comes to retirement time and I need somebody to take care of me. I also am a namesake. When I was born, September 14th, 1947. Now the mathematicians go at it. My mother determined what to call me. And later in life, I asked her, why did you call me Richard? And she said, well, there was a significant reason why we called you Richard. It was one of my favorite names because in 1947, there was music on the radio being played and it was titled, Open the Door, Richard. And I thought, I'm named after a song on the radio. Listen to the words of that. I've never heard the music, so I can't sing it to you. Thank you, Lord. Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open the door? Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Oh, Richard, why don't you open the door? I would have added a few verses here. Run, dumb Richard, run. But the verse goes on and says, I'm standing here digging in my hip pockets. I'm standing here scratching in my pants pocket. I'm standing here groping in my coat pocket. I just can't find that key. Duh. Open the door, Richard. Open the door, Richard. Let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open the door? Open the door, Richard. Thank you, Mom, for naming me Richard. I have a namesake, or I was given a namesake, or was somebody's namesake. For Pete's sake, what is that all about? That is not the intent of the writer. He is not talking about somebody being God's namesake. But he is talking about God's name and the value of it. In fact, he is saying it is in the sense that God wants his name to be highly esteemed. His reputation is to be upheld. His name is to be lived up to. His very nature is at stake in his name. And so when David writes this, he is saying, he leads me in paths of righteousness. That's what God does. That's who God is. He never leads you into evil. He never leads you into trouble except that he is first leading the way. He goes before you. He doesn't send you into trouble. He doesn't send you into sickness. He doesn't send you into death without himself accompanying you and leading the way. He says, I do that for my name's sake. That you will know I am the Lord God Almighty, the sovereign creator of heaven and earth, and I do all things well. My reputation is at stake in my name. So he leads me in paths of righteousness, not for my sake, but for his name's sake. Jeremiah 29:11 gives you some of the reasoning behind that. God says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a bright hope. God says, here's what I'm thinking about you. It's my very nature to think good things of you and to prepare good things for you. It is my name that is at stake here. This is why I do it. Psalm 37:23, David expresses it this way, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. You mean to tell me that all my steps are ordered by God? Yes, I do mean that. I mean every step that you take, every move that you make, every breath that you breathe is ordained by God and guided by His hand. He is your shepherd. And He loves you so much that He has a perfect plan and a wonderful idea for your life, and He wants you to be guided by that. For this reason, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness because His name is at stake. Romans 8:28, Paul reminds us and says, for we know, and I like to put in parentheses there, well, we ought to know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That is, the expression of that is, God is weaving all things together in His perfect plan, in His perfect pathway for you and for me. He has a design, and He's guiding us through that. Yes, sometimes it goes through the valley of the shadow of death, but it always comes out on the other side. Sometimes it's on the mountaintops, and sometimes it's over the water or through the water. God is leading us. And the child of God needs to take comfort in the fact that his heavenly Father, his shepherd, is in total control. Why is he concerned about his name? Because in his actions toward us, his name is at stake. His reputation is up for grabs. The third question we ask is this. What is that blessed name? Is it just the name shepherd that he is defending? No. For God's name is so expansive, it goes far beyond saying he is just shepherd. God couldn't paint a picture for us that was big enough for us to understand God, so he took the books of the Bible, 66 all totaled, from Genesis to Revelation, and every book of the Bible describes God in multiple ways with multiple names, so that we have over 600. I was reviewing those 600 that I compiled some years ago, and as I was reviewing those and meditating on it and singing through it and praising God for His name, I realized that I left out about 10 more names. You see, God wants us to understand that His name is blessed. It is so blessed that He has given us more names than we could even number. In the Gospel of John alone, you have names like the I Am, the Word, the Lamb, the Light, the Way, the Life, the Bread, the Water, the Shepherd, the Door, the Comforter, and on and on the names go. What is that blessed name? That blessed name is God Himself entrusting to us His very nature. And saying, I give you my name as I give you myself. David took the Lord as his shepherd and he said, God gave me a key to understanding him. The key that God gave to David in this moment of his life was the key of identifying God as shepherd. David took that key and put it in his pocket and said, that gives me hope in my times of trouble. It gives me comfort when I'm going through hardships and loss. Gives me courage when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd. God has over 600 names He wants to give to you and to me. At different points in our lives, He wants to hand us a key and say, I am the Lord, and He defines what He is to us. Tonight we're going to be doing a special service that we call a Chris Mon service. A Chris Mon service is not familiar to many people, but it is decorating the Christmas tree with the names of Christ. You see, it was Martin Luther that took the pagan symbol of a pine tree, evergreen tree, which is always pointing upward. And he put candles on it. And he brought it into his home and said, children, I want you to be reminded of the King of Kings. And all the stars of heaven point to him. And the tree that's evergreen also points to him. We take that Christmas tree, and in one of our services, we take the time to go over the names of Christ. And then take the emblems of his name and put them on the tree, worshiping and honoring him for his name. And I want to challenge you as God's people that God has a name that He wants to give you. He has a part of His person that He wants to entrust into your care. He wants to give you a key to understanding and to loving Him. He wants you to take one of those names as your name, the name that is like my shepherd, and it becomes yours. And for the entire year, you hold on to that name like David. You put it in your pocket, you savor it, you save it up, and you hold it in times of trouble. For in times of trouble, the Lord is a shelter for those that walk through the storms of life. As I meditated on these things, I adopted a name that God gave to me for this year. It's a name that I hadn't thought of before, but the name that just kind of was whispered by the Holy Spirit as I was worshiping and walking through His name. The name is, He is my portion. He is my portion. To most people, that doesn't mean much. But in the Bible, it talks about God being our everlasting portion. It's referring to the Levites in the Old Testament, the priestly line. And when Joshua divvied up all the land of the promised land, they all came marching in, and he came up to the Levites and he said, I don't have any property for you. He said, the Lord is your portion. The Lord is your property. The Lord is your inheritance. As a pastor, for many years, I didn't make very much money at all. You take care of me really well right now, and I thank you for that. But there were times when we made $75 a week, and that doesn't sound like much now, and it wasn't much then either. There were times we didn't have enough money to rub a couple nickels together. It was at those times that I needed to know the Lord is my portion. It's not about riches. Not about property. Not about getting stuff here. And the Lord says to His servants, I am your portion. That is my emblem this year that I put in my hand and I hold it close to my heart. And over and over throughout the year, I'll be able to say, Lord, you are my portion. Nothing else matters but you. And then I take the scripture and I apply the scripture. Lamentations 3:24 is my verse for that year. And it says, my soul says, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in Him. And then I take a song that contains that word, and I searched my archives in my brain, and Pastor Dave, I don't know if you're like I am on that, but it's amazing how many hymns and choruses and songs we have in our minds and hearts. And I started going through that, and I have a computer that still works up here. And it goes through and does the word search and through every song and every title. And it came to a song and it said, thou my everlasting portion, more than life to me. And I thought, I remember the song, but can I sing it? And so I looked it up, and sure enough, the words come from Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer of over a century ago. And she writes these words, and I share them with you as part of my inheritance is what His name is to me. It says, thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me. That is my inheritance. That is my portion. And I delight in it. So we gather here tonight at 6:30. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's names and asking you to worship His name, for He exalts His name. He says, even higher than His word, His name is exalted far above all other names. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We want to decorate the Christmas tree not with presents and gifts and gold and glitter. It's talking about us. We want to decorate it with Jesus and point the whole world to the reason of the season, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And
the righteous run into it. They are saved.